The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approached Jesus and said, "Teacher, we wish that you would do for us whatever we ask." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Promise that we may sit one at your right and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with?" "We can," they replied. Jesus told them, "You will drink the cup that I am going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with. But to sit at my right or at my left is not for me to give. Rather, those places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they were angry with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But that is not the way it is to be among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. July 25th is the day that has been set aside in the church calendar to commemorate James the Elder, or James the Greater. Calling him the Elder or the Greater is not because he's older or because he's better. It's rather to differentiate him from another James that is important in the New Testament. The one whom we are commemorating today is James the Greater. He is one of the 12 apostles. The other James that's important in the New Testament is known as James the Lesser, and that is the man who is known as the brother of the Lord. And he's important too. He became bishop of the congregation in Jerusalem, and he is also the author of the letter of James. But today we are focusing on James the Greater. Let's begin by briefly reviewing what we know about James. James was one of the 12. He was also part of that inner circle among the 12 who were with Jesus on a few occasions where the other 9 were not. The other members of this inner circle among the 12 were John, his brother, and Peter, his cousin. Peter, James, and John were all called to be apostles of Jesus at the same time. We actually heard about that a few weeks ago with the call of Jesus, or with the call of Peter when he's on the Lake of Galilee. And Jesus is there in Peter's boat, and when he ushers in those fish into Peter's net so that they begin to break, the ones to whom Peter calls are James and John. And when they bring the boats to shore, they drop their nets and follow Jesus. Peter, James, and John become disciples of Jesus. James and his brother John were sons of a man named Zebedee. They also got the nickname of being sons of thunder. It's believed that they got this nickname because they were exceedingly earnest and zealous. One time when they came to a village that did not receive Jesus, they asked Jesus if they should call down fire upon it. Also in our reading today, they asked Jesus if they can sit at his right and at his left, a rather cheeky thing to do, which we will speak about more in a minute. Obviously, these were not wilting daisies. In our first reading today from the book of Acts, you heard about how James died. James was the first of the 12 to be martyred. He was executed by King Herod. This might have been as soon as only a couple years after Pentecost. Jesus had asked James whether he was willing to drink the cup that Jesus drank and to be baptized with the baptism that Jesus was baptized with, and so it happened. James testified that this world was evil, that God is good, and that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. That's why he died, for disrupting the party, which the Herodians were known to enjoy. He was put to death. And yet, even though he has died, he lives. Whoever lives and believes in Jesus never dies. Whenever the Christian church commemorates the lives of the saints, it's different than when the world does something like that. When the world remembers someone, once a person has died, that's it. But fiery James, faithful unto death, is alive with his soul, with Jesus. His body awaits the resurrection from the dead. Whatever fame or recognition he might have had from men is unimportant. He has received from God these words: "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." That's what makes it different when we remember the saints compared to when the world remembers mere history. Now let's turn to our gospel reading, where we heard about this interaction between Jesus and these brothers, James and John. Mark tells us that James and John come to Jesus with an unusual request, but let me quickly note that Matthew adds a little detail that I think is significant. Matthew tells us that it's actually the mother of James and John who come to Jesus, which is what the art on our bulletin depicts. Sending your mother as an ambassador only makes the situation more unusual, for they say something strange when they say, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask." Whenever a conversation begins that way, you can be sure that something unusual is about to happen. "Make it so that we sit at your right and your left in your glory," they say. Something we might expect that Jesus would do is that he would be displeased with such an idea. The world is always hungry for glory and honor. The Bible teaches that this honor and glory belong to God alone. We are told over and over in the scriptures that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And here, James and John are asking to be seated at the best spots. Jesus does not rebuke them, however. Jesus had a fine sense for what people were actually after. He must have sensed that James and John were not thinking in a worldly way. Jesus asks them if they are able to drink the cup that he's going to drink and be baptized with the baptism that he's going to be baptized with, and they answer, "We can." The way that Jesus then responds shows that he is not like us. Proud men are fond of asking rhetorical questions of those they deem unworthy. Proud men ask others whether they think they can do the job that they do, and proud men believe that only they can do their job. Everyone else is unqualified or inexperienced. So if proud men ask whether someone else can do the job that they are doing, and the other one says, "Yes, I can," then the proud man says, "Oh, you think you can, huh? Well, you better have a second thought coming." If there were ever a situation where this lording it over others would be appropriate, then I think it might be this situation. When Jesus speaks of this cup and this baptism, he is speaking about his suffering and his death. By his selfless love, Jesus was going to drink the cup of suffering and be baptized in blood. He would not be put to death because he was a criminal or an evildoer, but precisely because he loved God and strove for what is good. Jesus' suffering and death would redeem all people as justice is carried out upon him for the sins that you and I have committed. When James and John say that they can do what Jesus does, it seems like the more accurate answer for Jesus would be, no, you can't. But Jesus is an unusual person. When there are differences among us, we always want those differences to remain that make us look good. If we're better looking than someone else, we want it to stay that way. If we have more money than somebody else, we want it to stay that way. If we are more morally upright than others, we want it to stay that way. With Jesus, even though he is vastly superior to everyone else in every respect, he does not use this difference to glorify himself, to magnify how terrible the other person is in comparison to him. He uses rather his immense power to lift them up, to make them better, to make them become like him. He doesn't laugh at how others can't do what he does. He wants others to be better, and if it were possible, he would even have others be better than himself. So when Jesus says to James and John, "You're right. You will drink this cup that I am going to drink, and you will be baptized with this baptism that I'm going to be baptized with," he's telling them that they will follow his footsteps. He wonderfully does not domineer over these disciples who probably don't know what they're saying. It's like he's looking on them as a kindly father might deal with his young son. The father knows that the son has a long way to go in order to be able to do what the father can do, but he wants to help his son, not humiliate him. He wants to encourage him. And so he tells the son that he's going to be just as good as he is, if not better. Here, James and John were wanting to follow in the footsteps of their master, Jesus. Here is a greatness and a glory that it is good to strive after. Striving to have your name written in the history books or to have everyone wish that they were you, that's sinful pride. Luther calls pride the queen of sins. It was sinful pride that came before the fall into sin. They wanted to be like God. This is the kind of pride that angers God, so that he becomes an iron wall to such people. But striving to become more like Jesus is no sin. This kind of glory is beneficial to others, because the goal is to make other people better, just like Jesus did, or even better than one's self. It's not the one who has a lot and the one who receives a lot who is great. It is the one who gives who is great, because that's what Jesus did. But if this endeavor is genuine and truly Christian, it will always be a kind of glory that is utterly hidden and even repulsive to the world and to our reason. Jesus died in shame. He was bruised, covered in spit, and mercilessly mocked. This is what the world always does when their works, which they are so stinking proud of, are pointed out as evil. That would be the way that the Apostle James died too. People thought that he was judgmental and insubordinate to the Jewish authorities. I'm sure he made no secret of what he thought of Herod's abomination. He was too religious, too zealous. Perhaps you noticed in the reading that his arrest and execution pleased the people. They were glad that he got what was coming to him. The people didn't like James. Do not romanticize the cross that Jesus gives us to carry. The cross is ugly and offensive to the world and to our own reason. It appears to be unnecessary and fruitless, like someone's just throwing his or her life away. Christian suffering is not just when our money or our business or even our lives are taken away, these are things that people might be willing to bear because there's a kind of glory in these things that our reason can recognize. No, Christian suffering includes even having our good name taken away from us so that people are glad when bad things happen to us. In this, we follow Jesus. Nobody was better than Jesus, but what did people say of him? The Jews thought that he was a dangerous heretic, the worst of the worst, destroying Moses' laws and leading people into hell. To this day, the Orthodox Jews see Jesus as the worst of the worst. The Romans thought that he was a total nut job. He was claiming that he was a king. He claimed to be important. When he was hanging on the cross, they came up with some pretty funny jokes about that. Even Jesus' own disciples, by and large, abandoned him. They thought that he must have been an imposter, and what he said, that he was the Christ, couldn't be true, because there he was, condemned and dying. Only those who have eyes to see and ears to hear can perceive the glory of God in such things. But if this is the glory that you would like to strive after, then blessed are you. If you want to drink this cup and be baptized with the baptism that Jesus had, then you should be encouraged. Just like Jesus encourages James and John here, having the ambition to love more, serve more, suffer more gladly, bless those who curse you, loving your enemies, these are the best of things. These are the things that the Son of God did. God loved his Son, and everything that Jesus did, every moment of Jesus' life, was precious to the Father, as he loved and loved and loved even to the end. You may be sure that God is well pleased with you, as his good and faithful servant, when you are following in those footsteps of Jesus. And when we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we don't need to be too worried about falling into pride. The cross will see to that. When the other disciples heard about James and John's request, they were indignant. Who do they think they are? They wondered. But Jesus cleared that up pretty quickly, too. Worldly people are always wanting to be the best and sit in the best seats and have everybody wish that they could be as good as they are. That is not how it should be among you, Jesus says. Instead, he says, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you will be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here we do not have a race to the top where we are stepping on whomever we might have to in order to get there. This is a race to the bottom, if you will. Who can I serve more? Who can put others ahead of themselves more? That one is the great one. And so the Apostle James was made great in just that way. He walked in the good works that God had prepared beforehand for him to walk in. He did not despise the cross that God laid upon him, or seek to be rid of it. He was not ashamed of the name of Jesus or of the gospel. He was faithful unto death and has received the crown of everlasting life. He is an example for us to follow. God approves of his Son, and so you should strive to drink the cup that he drank and to be baptized with the baptism that he was baptized with. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.